I don't know about you, but some years ago, there was a series of books that became popular around the country. They were simply entitled List to Live By. It was very popular for a while. There were these small volumes, and the lists range from success to leadership, recreation, relationships, and so on and so forth. And in each one of these small articles, each one, barely covering a full page, you found this little list of advice. Some were worth the time to read, others were a waste of time. But this morning, I want to look at a list. If you're in your Bibles and you're looking at 1 Chronicles 27, you'll see this list of all these different people and some of the jobs that they did. Now, if you're like me, when you read the Bible and you get to a place of lists, you think, oh no. Some of you skim through it real quickly. Some will move to the next chapter. It's like, let's get on with the good stuff. But you know, those lists are there for a reason. God's sharing with us something about it. And so anyway, in this list from 1 Chronicles 27, it's talking about David's men, what they did, who they were, the jobs they had. So my first point this morning is lessons from the list. Lessons from the list. You know, that list can teach us something today in our service to the Lord. You know, in previous week, I talked about the upper room, a place where we encounter God. But you know, there's also a place where we serve the Lord. And we saw many of those doing that yesterday, and others do it in other places. Every person has a place of special service to God. Every person is called by name. God knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. And more than that, God cares for you. You're on His heart. You're on His mind. Every person serves in a different capacity. And God puts you in that place. And His intent, wherever that place is that you would grow in Him and mature in the Lord and become fruitful for Him. We've been going through the book of Ephesians as well. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we know why we were made. God made you for good works, that we should do that. And it also mentions that God even knew beforehand what He wanted you to do. I mean, think about that for a while. It kind of blows your mind when you think about it all. But here, let's get to point number two today. Lessons from life. You know, there are lessons that we learn from these lists, but there's also a lesson from the life of the man we're going to look at this morning. His name is Joash. Let me repeat the last part of that verse. "And over the cellars of oil was Joash." Young's literal translation says, "Over the treasures of oil is Joash." Now you look at that, you hear that and think, okay, whoopee, he's over the oil. What does that really mean? Here we have the man's name, we have the man's job description, but what's unique is he's one of David's mighty men. He's one of those men of honor. And his job was worth remembering. Have you ever been at that place and you said, you know what? Nobody knows what I do. Nobody cares what I do. And yet God knows and God cares. What's incredible is what is said about this man. He is over the treasures of oil. Now, some of you may think, oh, I just got a job down at the oil refinery. No, this man's job was far more than that. The Hebrew word, the root word that they get treasure, literally means treasure or treasury, a store, a storehouse, or as the King James translates, a cellar. You say, why is that so important? Well, often that was the place where they kept the oil. They kept it in that cellar. And so here's the man put in charge of this by the king. His job is not flashy, nor is it one that attracts a lot of attention. In fact, much of his time is spent hidden away from the eyes of men. If you work in a cellar, you don't have a lot of visitors. It's dark, it's damp, and it's a deserted place. And that's where Joash and his men are laboring. But what happened in that cellar not only impacted his generation, but generations to come. In fact, it even moves to this day, the spirit of what that man did. Joash was an unsung hero of his day. And I believe there are many unsung heroes today. Many of those are in this congregation. And often what makes that unsung hero is they're laboring in obscurity. They're doing things that mark a path that you really may not recognize it until they're gone. And then you think, man, we missed that person and what they did, and it comes to light. You know, back in London, England, on January 6, 1856, there had been a terrible snowstorm. And a young man was walking to go to church that day, and sure enough, it was so bad, he said, well, I'll just take a side street. And he came across a little primitive Methodist chapel. And there he walked in. He knew in his mind those primitive Methodists, they were loud with their singing, so much to the point it could give people headaches. They were enthusiastic, though. And sure enough, he was going to church that day to find out, what did he need to do to be saved? Big thing on his mind. And sure enough, that day, as he came into this little chapel, they waited. The preacher never showed up. The snow had kept him away from the service, I imagine. And sure enough, then at that point, a thin-looking man, a shoemaker by trade or something, he went up to the pulpit and he began to preach. And this is what his title was. It's from Isaiah 45:22. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That day, that young man gave his heart to Jesus. And the world has not been the same because of that. Because that man would grow up and become one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s. His name was Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon would preach to crowds of 5,000 without a microphone. He was well known. Even today, ministers read his sermons, and that's back from the 1800s. You know, what strikes me is that some unknown man got up to do a job that we don't remember his name, but what he did had great impact. You know, many of you are like that too. You may not know or understand why God has you doing what you're doing, and yet it is having great impact. You know, and I say that because the church is made up of these unsung heroes that they do their part and the kingdom of God is advanced. We see that in so many areas. Let me talk about the third point, the value of Joash. You see, Joash had duties he had to do. And sometimes when you look at the duties that God has for you to do, you think, how will this help? Why is my little part so important? Well, one of the jobs he had to do was prepare the oil. In that time and in this time, oil's important. We need it in our cars and so on. In that day, they needed it to put oil in their lamps to light up the places where they were. They used it in religious services where they would mix the oil with other things. And that was so important. In fact, Moses said in the book of Exodus 30:22-25, there was a certain procedure and elements that had to go into that. Very important. It was important in that society. It's important today. You know, when you think about that, it was used for religious things. It was used for lamps. It was used for merchandise, medicine. Well, the Bible tells us that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You know, as believers, the Spirit of God has been placed in us. And we have to be careful to guard the treasure that God has put in you. Because you're a keeper of the oil as well. You're the keeper. We have to remember what he's put inside us. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure is in you. That's what's on the inside, but look what's on the outside. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This morning, as the worship team gathered down here, one of the persons on the team shared a little thought of a battle, a struggle to come out to the house of God. And it's because things happen in life. Things get overwhelming. We get discouraged. We say, Lord, do I really want to do that? And we talked, and as a team, we just saw people share. And we reminded each other that we're in a battle. We're in a battle on Sunday morning just to get to the house of God. The enemy doesn't want you here. He wants you to stay at home. Why? Because there's probably someone you need to meet. There's someone or there's something you need to hear, or there's an impact God is going to use you for on Sunday morning. So we understand what's inside. We know what's happening on the outside. And think about it. That oil was necessary for the services they had at the tabernacle. The job was far more than what people thought. You know, God knows your ministry. God knows your service to the kingdom of God. And the keepers of the treasure today are those who literally keep the lights on in the church. Think about that for a moment. Why are these lights on? Someone is keeping the oil, figuratively, to make that happen. You know, Joash was the one who did that. That was his first thing. But the second responsibility he had was to preserve the oil. That's what he had to do. You know, Joash learned, you know, that people could come in. They could steal the oil. The oil could be corrupted by one thing or another. History shows that they would keep this oil in these large vats, and there they would keep it. On top of it, they would put a lid, and the lid would be sealed often with wax. So one of his jobs had to be that he would look at these vats and make sure that there was no break in the wax, that no rodents or other things could get in and really spoil that oil. They had to make sure that no mold or mildew would happen and grow on the lid. And you know, they had to make sure that wax wouldn't crack over time. You think of all these little responsibilities that he had to do, but it was so important for the work of the whole. They had to make sure no insects got in there. You know, they had to make sure those vats were in good working order. They had to make sure that no oil was ever wasted. He was a watcher of the treasure. Sometimes people say, what's so important about your job and your work for God? Aren't you just a watcher of the treasure? Hey, you know what? God's work is a treasure. Everything that we have, whatever we do for God, God is using that for His glory, His kingdom. Some people are never seen. You know, we need people like that in the church that have the oil of the Holy Spirit in their lives and they're guarding it. They're making sure that the devil does not come and corrupt it or steal from it. That's a possibility. You know, things can happen. Things can be corrupted by complacency. It can be corrupted by compromise. It can be wasted by worldliness. It can be wasted by popularity or apathy, or even stolen by an enemy of the cross. All of those things can happen. So my question is, where are the watchmen of the night or the watchwomen? The Bible tells us many times things that can come in and corrupt the oil. We see in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says, now I urge you, brethren, that those who note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned and avoid them. Why? Because that would corrupt the oil. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So what would happen if that watchman all of a sudden got inebriated? The enemy came in and stole the oil, be in trouble. Calls us to be sober, be vigilant. We have to, number three, we have to preserve the oil. Don't let your guard down when you're troubled. Don't let discouragement happen in the cellar. Your job is critical. But also there are some disadvantages as well. So letter B. We see the duties of Joash, and it kind of gives us some insight in how we can be used by God. But there are disadvantages as well. Whenever someone tells you, hey, you know, working for the Lord is great, yes, and don't want to say no, but I want to say there are some disadvantages as well. Here's some of those. Number one, he was unnoticed. You know, sometimes the work for God, you're doing what you do and nobody sees it. And you're thinking, well, nobody knows what I'm doing. You do it anyway. Because you're not doing it for men, you're doing it for God. Not many people saw the job that Joash and his men did, taking care of this treasure of the oil. But when you read that list in 1 Chronicles 27, there are those that are in the spotlight. There's some people knew about. This is who they were, what they did. But then there were also those unseen people that you probably never hear until now you read it. Those people that did what they did for God in the unseen realm. You know, being that unseen person doesn't do a lot for your self-esteem. You know, other people, they get applauded what they're doing, and you're over here plodding away. But God sees it. And that's the important thing. There are many jobs in the kingdom of God where you don't have the spotlight. Actually, it can be dangerous to be around those who love the spotlight. They love the preeminence. They want to be first. That's a dangerous place. So dangerous that John the Apostle writes in 3 John 1, verse 9. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. Can you imagine that? Here's a church leader. John is going to come visit, and he says, this guy just wants to have all the spotlight. He won't welcome anybody else in. I guess he was threatened by John, you know? And you know what? Somebody like John came to our church. Ooh, wow. We're bringing in the big guns. Praise the Lord. But you know what? There's nothing to be intimidated. We're all on the same team. We should be rejoicing that John has the ministry he has. But don't keep people out. There is a cult of self today that does its best to rule in this world. It likes the preeminence, it likes the spotlight, and at times it tries to sneak into the church. Our job is to make sure that doesn't happen, because the only one that needs to be lifted up here is Jesus. He's the one. It's all about him. We've come for him. And that wrongful mindset has to go. But here's the thing. God knows every effort that's made for his kingdom. Every effort. Those little things that you do, God records in heaven. He's meticulous in his bookkeeping. And for many, they may never get rewarded until they get home to heaven. But here's what the Lord says through the Bible. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Some of you guys are laying up a lot of treasures in heaven. God's going to do that. But you know, those treasures are only valid and worthwhile if we've given our life to Jesus. That's the most important thing of this life, that we would be surrendered to the Lord. All of our gifts and things we give to God, without that, wouldn't it be crazy to say, okay, they're mentioning all the good works that happen in heaven, but they're not here to receive it. We have to make sure that our heart is right with Jesus. That's the bottom line. Well, there was another disadvantage about Joash and his work in that it was uncomfortable. How many of you, God asks you to do something, it's uncomfortable? Maybe you're not a people person, and being around people is hard, it's difficult, it's uncomfortable. Well, remember I said this word treasure could also mean cellar? Think about it. The cellar was the place where they kept the oil, usually underground, dark, dim, damp, and often deserted. I mean, not a lot of people say, hey, let's go out and watch Joash's job and talk to him. He's in the cellar. When does it get off work? When does it pass to somebody else? Not all of God's assignments are pleasant. But when God calls you to a task, you have the confidence He knows you can do it. You may not think you can, but God does. Why would He ask you to do that if He didn't think you could do it? You know, our obedience in a difficult place proves our faith, that we trust the Lord. You know, and that's the thing. That's what our life is about. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith and our trust in the Lord. Our duty is to deny ourselves, obey the Lord, and treasure the oil. Matthew 16:24 says this, then Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Me. How many people would come to Christ if you said, here's the invitation, this is where we want you to come. Deny myself? What do I get out of that? It's not about you. It's about Him. Why does He ask me to do it? Because that's where the impact is made. That's why there are over 1 billion people in church today around the world. Because why? One man laid down his life so we could live. There's something that happens when people lay down their life for a cause or for the one who saved them. It's like fire. Just like they have the fires in LA that are just burning because they hit this dry land. That's the way it is with people who are sold out to God. Man, there's a fire that keeps burning in them and through them. And whatever they do, they said, I'm here to keep the oil of God burning in my life. They want revival, and they realize it doesn't magically appear just because we want it. There's a purposeful walk towards it. There is a struggle involved in it. There is discontent that constantly troubles the person who's hungry for more of God. There is a destiny that will never be content until it comes. There's a great discomfort that lives with us until that revival comes. That's part of the hardships of the job. But there's another disadvantage as well with Joash. He was unappreciated. He was unappreciated. You know, I'm sure there are times he was mocked and people would look at him and say, you know, what's your job? Oh, I keep the oil in the cellar. Yep, what a job. People may not understand your motives for protecting the treasure and keeping the cellar. It may be a lonely place where you are. You may feel misrepresented, misunderstood, but every now and then, the king makes a stop to check on your work. That had to be one of the highlights of his job, waiting for that day when the king comes through. Keep doing what you're doing for God. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy discourage you. For your work will be known by God. Here it is. We have this record in the scripture of Joash that probably was unknown in his day, but he's known in ours by his name in the book. your works may be known in heaven. But I want to tell you, God keeps a great record. Matthew 25, verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This is for those who are faithful. God wants us to be faithful in all our labors for him. And it says, enter into the joy of the Lord. There should be something about us that we serve the Lord with gladness. This is just contagious. John, I'm going to talk about you. Yesterday, his job was to be over there, and he was the guy that would hold the stop sign up. And you know, there was something about him. I could hear him from where I was, talking to them about the Lord, sharing Jesus with them. And there were others saying, God bless you, or Jesus loves you. It was a team that I just loved to watch. And that's the beauty. And you say, well, what difference did it make? Maybe that one word, maybe that love shown made a difference. The world had a Charles Spurgeon because some unknown person talked about in the church one Sunday, look to the Lord and be saved. What a difference a life can make. The world is watching. They're watching to see how we handle the treasure of the oil. Are we looking for more of God? Are we asking, Lord, how can I use this oil for your glory? That's what we want. Are we being faithful for what God asks of us? That's what he wants, to take care of the oil. So here's the point. God is interested in you. He's investing in you. How will you take care of that investment? Are you allowing things to come in that tarnish the oil? Have you let the guard down in this area or that? Are you content to do with whatever God asks you, even if it's not in the spotlight, but it's done behind the scenes? If you're faithful, God has more for you to do. But take care of the oil. Joash was a keeper of the cellars. He was in charge of the treasury of God's oil. Let's pray. Lord, today, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you're speaking to our hearts and lives. And God, from these lessons, from the lists in the Old Testament, you speak to us. God, I pray that you will help us to be faithful where you've put us, doing the things that you desire. Lord, I believe in your house there are heroes that are unsung. God, they've been faithful doing the work, Lord, and maybe they've been unseen, but they haven't because you've seen everything they've done. God, I pray, touch their lives. Lord, let their faithfulness inspire us, Lord. Let it speak to this generation and the generations to come. Should you tarry, Lord, let it speak. And God, I pray, your church will go forward because of these. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.